Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church, Warrensburg, Missouri, where it is our goal to bring people to a genuine and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this podcast will be a blessing and encouragement to you.
This morning, we're in our sixth and final week of our series on relationships and reconciliation. You remember in week one, at the very beginning of the new year, we talked about how all humanity is in estrangement from their Creator. And that there's no way for us to be in a right relationship with God except for the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And so in week one, we talked about how we all must be first reconciled to God through the cross of Christ. Because that's where not only can we have a right relationship with Him again, the reconciliation with God is the only way that we can be reconciled to one another. And so in week two, we talked about how we are to be reconciled to fellow Christians. And how we are to pursue peace and to pursue restoration with one another. In week three, we talked about how we pursue reconciliation with non-Christians. How we pursue peace and we live a life of grace and goodness that points those around us who don't yet know Jesus to Him. Then in week four, we talked about reconciliation within marriage specifically. We talked about the purpose of marriage, of why God created that institution in the garden, and how it is that we can pursue that in our whole household. And that really led into last week where we talked about reconciliation within the family, within the household, and what God's purposes for our households are within the context of this wider family of faith called the local church. And so this week we conclude that series by looking at reconciliation between ethnicities. You remember when you read Ephesians 2, Paul in verses 1 through 10, he gives just an incredible summary of the gospel. How we were enemies of God, how we were slaves to the prince of the power of the air, but God, being rich in His mercy while we were dead, made us alive with Christ. Paul talks about how we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus alone, which then makes us the workmanship of God, that we are His masterpiece. But then the second half of Ephesians 2, Paul fleshes out what that means. And he talks about Jews and Gentiles and how that dividing wall between these two people groups has now been broken down in Jesus Christ. That in Christ we are now one new man, that there is no longer this or that, but that our identity is first and foremost in Jesus Christ. And so I'm really excited this morning as we flesh out what that means. For ethnicities to be reconciled to one another through the cross of Christ. Because it's no secret just how our country and how our world continues to struggle so much with racial relationships, with disunity within the human race, and how Jesus Christ, as Brother Robert's going to hit on here in a moment, how Jesus Christ is the only answer for this. And so I'm excited for this topic, but I'm really excited for my friend and for my brother, Robert Loggins, to come and to share God's word with us this morning. There's a little bio about Robert in your bulletin this morning, so I'm not going to read it. You can read it yourself. But what I really want to say more than anything is all you need is to spend just a couple of minutes with Brother Robert. And you just see how much he loves the Lord and how his passion is to be obedient to Him and to share that good news that in Jesus there is life and salvation, to share it with anyone who will listen. And so he's going to be an incredible blessing to us this morning on this topic, really as he leads us to the throne of grace, as we seek to make the name of Jesus Christ magnified in this time this morning. And so, Brother Robert, would you come? I'd love to just pray over you before you lead us in God's word. Heavenly Father, we give you just great thanks for our brother here, and we give you great thanks that while we are sinners, that Christ died for us. And Lord, I just thank you so much for the testimony of my good friend, my good brother Robert here. Lord, just the abundant grace that you have poured out upon him, Lord, and how you have used him in incredible ways for your kingdom. And so, Lord, I just pray that the name of Jesus would be made great in all that we say here this morning. Lord, lead him as he leads us to the very foot of the cross. Bless him, bless us, open up our minds, soften our hearts, show us what it is that you would have for us as individuals and as a church family. It's in Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor, so very much for the incredible vision that you have for your church. I'm honored to work beneath the shadows of your ministry. Thank you so much to Dr. Jason Snowden, who is my doctor, for the incredible man of God that he is as he serves as an elder in this community. What a blessing that is. I'm going to introduce a few people, and then I'm going to share a little bit, and then we're going to dive into the water of the gospel message. If you get with me, we'll get out early. If not, I can preach all day. I have preached so hard in white churches, I turn white. So I'm expecting to turn white today. But I'm going to need you to help me, okay? Somebody say, help him, somebody. First of all, I want to introduce a dear friend of mine that I did not know until I moved to this community. And a beautiful couple, Craig and Kelly Klein. Craig, Kelly, would y'all stand, please? Incredible people that God brought their children into my life when I was doing Punker Bible Camp. One of my best friends in this community, Craig is, his beloved bride. I'm just honored that they allow me to be a part of their life. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Another very beautiful lady that my wife and I and our family has literally fallen in love with her grandkids. Her name is Doris. We call her Gigi Mom. And she is an incredible person, and I just love how she cooks. And she's incredible. She's a blessing. Doris, would you stand, please? Thank you, Doris. Praise God for you, Doris. Now, my members know me well when I pastor. I will cry in a minute. Okay? I'm one of those crying preachers like Jeremiah. And I will break off and cry in a second. The beloved of my life, for 41 years, my life, that I would not be here today if it wasn't for the love of my life, my best friend, my rib. You get that when you, my rib. When God snatched that rib from Adam, he said, when he made Adam, he just said, Adam, your dust came out, but we made a woman. The Bible said he fashioned her. He built her from that rib. He fashioned her from the rib. I want my rib to stand, my sweetheart, Cassandra Gail Jordan Loggins. Dr. Loggins, she just finished her PhD in nursing. And I tell you, boy, she gave me two big old boys, and thank God I didn't kill them. I have four grandkids. Praise God. I'm going to take a moment, then we're going to dive right into the text, and we're going to move on very judiciously. Let me invite you to the second writing of Timothy, particularly chapter 4, and we will lift up from the heart of the text the first two verses in that particular chapter. Then we expose some other nature of the text thereabout. When I moved to St. Louis as a missionary back in 1986, I came an area of prayer and spiritual, well, actually church planting and racial reconciliation. My first experience when I came to St. Louis as a church planter was to plant churches in African-American communities, not to plant black churches, but churches where there were communities that needed a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. When I came to St. Louis, I had a meeting in my first month with a group of African-American pastors, about 30 or 40 of them, that met me at one of the churches downtown, one of the most known churches downtown. And while I was there, they invited me over to talk with me about why am I working with white people in the Southern Baptist Racial Convention. And through that experience, for about 3.5 to 4 hours or so, they literally blessed me out. I was called the white man's nigger. I was called a honky lover. I was called a black guy who worked white people, racist people. It was so bad until the guys would get in my face and the expectorant from their mouth were literally softer couple of my glasses. For 3 to 4 hours, it lasted. And when they finished, I said, you don't know me. I'm not the white man's nigger. I'm not robber's nigger. I'm a child of God. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead and give it up for the Lord. Come on. Within that same month, I went to preach in an area outside of St. Louis, going towards Ellsbury area, Missouri, outside of the St. Louis community. My first month, the board asked me from the state office to go and introduce myself and so forth. So I got there a little late, got lost, and I walked into the church. It was an all-white church, and a very stately, handsome gentleman when I got there. He was probably the chairman of deacon, maybe in his 90s or so. When I walked in, he introduced me. He said, we have here with us Reverend Robert Lugens. He's a very special nigger. And after the special music, we'll hear the nigger preach. And I said to myself, I said, God, what have I gotten myself into? My black brothers want to kill me. My white brothers who brought me here don't know who I am. I am in no man's land. And it lasted for 20 years. And I'm so grateful to God. I got a chance to do a lecture at the Black Pastors Union in St. Louis. And when they introduced me, what happened was they had nobody to lecture or to speak to do a particular lecture. And so one guy said, well, get Robert to do it. This Dr. Loggins, he loves white people. Those Southern Baptists didn't know everything anyway. So I came up. He asked me, do you know how to do this? I said, I've been watching. It was simply a devotional message. They had a devotional message, then they had a lecture, and then a sermon. So I did Psalm 119, and I went through the whole Psalm 119, which is enumerated in the Hebrew alphabet from Aleph to Tau. And every 8 verses from Aleph to Tau in Psalm 119, it breaks it down in that perspective. So I broke down and I dealt with that, and I lifted up the word debar, which is the word logos in the New Testament, the word debar in the Old Testament, and I lifted that word up and I went through it all the way through, every precept, every law, every word in that, and I sat down. I had only 3 minutes. I sat down in 2 minutes and 25 seconds. After that, they asked me to lecture. When I lectured, one guy came to me and said, your lecture, I've been preaching from your lecture for over a year. I said, get out of here. He said, when are you going to lecture again? I said, well, I don't know. And then I began writing books and so forth. And I can say today, I've given away a lot of books, but those guys pay for my books. I just want you to know that the love of my life, my wife, and I are thrilled to be here. And I'm honored that your pastor would extract such a sensitive, important matter of this day and age. And that is what it means to be reconciled in Christ, what God wants to do. We have the ministry of reconciliation, the message of reconciliation. We have the method of reconciliation. And we have the man of reconciliation, the master, the Lord Jesus Christ. But today, we're going to penetrate and focus on the authenticity of the essence of how to get there. And the way you get there is through the blood of Jesus Christ and through the sovereignty of his holy word. Would you stand for the reading of God's word? 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll lift up just a fragment of the second verse, and we'll expose the first verse for the edification of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it reads in this manner from the New International Version of Scripture. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who would judge the living and the dead in view of his appearing, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Repeat after me. I give you this charge. Preach it. Brother, preach it. Preach the word. I want to talk this morning. Remain standing, please. I want to talk this morning from the thought. Preach the word, the mouthpiece of God. Preach the word, the mouthpiece of God. Father, now may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my blessed Redeemer. in the name that is above every name, the name whereby every knee shall bow, every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and for Christ's sake. And every heart said, amen. Let's wake up Warrensburg. Amen again.
Amen.
Wake up Warrensburg. Amen one more time.
Amen.
One for the Father.
Amen.
One for His Son.
Amen.
And one for His precious Holy Spirit. Put your Bible down. Take this hand here, and let's do this. You may be seated. Preach the word, the mouthpiece of God. God is not impressed with our opinions. He is equally not turned on to or moved to tears with what we and you and I think. As a matter of fact, the Bible clearly says to each of us, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord Almighty. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The Bible goes on to say that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end leads to death and destruction. That is why, beloved, the psalmist cries out these words very explicitly. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name forever and ever and ever. You see, beloved, as we prepare to turn the page from 2019 to 2020, I want to encourage the First Baptist Church of Warrensburg and every Bible-believing church in this community and throughout every community and every color, every creed, every race, and every person in this nation to consider what we are going to do with our dusty Bibles. The Bibles that we have had several years that have not been read from cover to cover. The Bible that we have, beloved, have not read through the heart of God when it comes to race and reconciliation. How much longer, beloved, are we, the people of God, going to allow an unread Holy Bible to continue to be read through human intellect and not spiritual transformation of the human heart to come and sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ every Sunday, yet we have never read the Bible cover to cover? What are you going to do about the Bibles in the back of your SUVs and your Silverado and your Fords? I'm a Chevy man, Silverado. What are you going to do about the Bibles that are scattered throughout your house? The Bible that sits in your family room, that big Bible that has never been read for the glory of God. Why should anyone, beloved, have a Bible that they have never read from cover to cover? It is literally, beloved, a waste of dead cowhide and fallen oak trees to own an unused, unread, unlived, unauthoritated Bible that God has given to us for the edification of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you not know, beloved, that the Word of God would literally change your life? It would change your attitude. It would change your heart. It would change your conversation. It would change your family. It would change your children. It would change your marriage. It would change your husband to give to his wife all the credit cards she needs to go shopping till she drops. It would even change your pastor, your elders, your deacons, your deaconesses. It would even change the way in which you give your tenth instead of a tip in the church of the Lord Jesus. But a church that does not, a st- dead church. It is a church that has no power. It is a church that is dead. It is a dead church. But folks who've never read the Bible cover to cover and take the Word of God as the Word of God in their life, it is a dead church. It is a church without power. It is a church without the Prince of Peace, Shalom. It is a church without a promise, Epangelia. It is a church without position in the kingdom of God. Thus, it is a racist church. A church that divides the body of Christ from being the body of Christ. It is a racist church. Beloved, it is a black church, a red church, a green church, or a yellow church. But beloved, excuse my Mississippiism. It is Mississippi, not Mississippi. We say folks who say they're from Mississippi, they say Mississippi. We call them foreigners. It is, beloved, a church that is not God's church. And God's Holy Spirit will not, cannot, and shall not, and never ever not, dwell in an unclean, unappreciative, unwholesome church where God's word is not sovereign in the life of the people who lock the doors of that church. It is an unholy temple in a church like that. I'm sorry, this is First Baptist. In a church like that. Gotta get my First Baptist language down right. So my question this morning, beloved, is this. What kind of church is both the First Baptist Church of Warrensburg, Missouri, and the indigenous African-American church in this community? Does the First Baptist Church of Warrensburg, Missouri, and the indigenous African-American churches in this community operate in and on and through the supernatural spirit of a holy and righteous God in His Word? If we do, then we, beloved, then what are we doing to make it known throughout Warrensburg that we are the body of Christ and we are one? I take an amen right there. So, beloved, God has made us one. In essence, a community that needs to see us as Christians, black and white people, as one. In other words, the ebony and ivory keys on God's baby grand piano playing together in biblical harmony and melodious grace. A community that is neither north nor south, that's neither hot nor cold, east nor west, but a community today that is lukewarm because of the absenteeism of the authority of the Word of God. A community that is, as Leif Anderson so eloquently says, and puts it so clearly, dying for change. So, beloved, what if the First Baptist Church of Warrensburg and the churches of color in this community fail to employ the power of the sovereign Word of God? What if we listen to the world more than we listen to the Word? What kind of influence do you think we will have on this community? But on the other hand, suppose we decide to listen to the word more than we listen to the world. What do you think would happen in this community? But there's yet another question, beloved, that I must ask. Who did God assign as his mouthpiece to preach his word to us today? Who is it that speaks for God today as his unique mouthpiece? The Apostle Paul said to young Timothy, his protege, you are the mouthpiece of God. You are the representation of my demonstration, of my authenticity, of my authority. You are the one who stand in judge Jews and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It is your job to preach it, preach it, preach it, teach it, preach it, to break the hearts of stony men, to bring people to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah today. So, beloved Timothy, God's mouthpiece. What a great honor for me today to be the mouthpiece of God. What a blessing. Brother Patrick, Brother Pastor, Dr. Edwards. Doctor, I don't know about you, but it is a very awesome and fearful thing to be God's mouthpiece. There are times when I don't want to be his mouthpiece. But just like Jeremiah, it's just like fire shut up in my bones. That's how I turn dark. You get that when you get home. You get that when you get home. As a mouthpiece of God, Isaiah cried out, woe to me, I'm ruined. Then he said, here am I, send me. I'll go. You see, beloved, you don't win friends and people, and you don't win the popular vote being a mouthpiece of God, but it's the best job in town. And I would not have it any other way. Beloved, I am literally amazed that God could use someone like me being from Mississippi. Thus, this pastoral epistle, as Paul so eloquently puts it in his second writing to Timothy, titles equally so, Pastoral Epistle 1 of 3, beloved. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul admonishes young Timothy to preach the word and to be a mouthpiece of God. He tells Timothy, this young man, basically 4 distinctive and unique things to remember as he preached the word of God as a mouthpiece of God. Now, I want you to get these now, and I will be at the back door checking who can graduate out of class today. Amen. Or I'm going to put your mama on you. My mama, Gladys Louise Reeve Anastasia Lawley, she was a whipologist. So don't have me to call my mama. So what are these 4 distinctive things, beloved? First of all, jot this down. Know who your audience is. Know who your audience is. Your audience is God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who would judge the living and the dead in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge, not this suggestion, not this ideological perspective, not this Republican or Democratic perspective, or whatever you want to call it, but I give you this charge, preach the word of God. Secondly, we need to know what your season is. Know what your season is. That's timing. Timing. 2 Timothy 4:2 and following. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage, great patience and careful instruction, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers who will say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths, but you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, euangelia, gospel, evangelism, good news, discharge all the duties of your ministry. So, beloved, first, know who your audience is, God. Secondly, know what your season is, timing, God's divine timing. Thirdly, know who your enemy is. Know who your enemy is. Your enemy isn't me, an African American from Mississippi. My enemy isn't you, a white brother or a white sister. You are not my enemy. So who is the enemy? The enemy is the devil. The enemy is the Satan. The enemy is Diabolon. The enemy is the trickster, the one who tricked Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3. The enemy is the malevolent one. The enemy is a liar. The enemy is a thief. The enemy is the devil. The enemy is Satan himself. He comes to kill, steal, rob, and destroy us and devour us. That's the enemy. 2 Timothy 2:3-1. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People would be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, lovers, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. Get this now. Having a form, morpho, of godliness. Morpho, that means the word morphology, where a word comes from. They look like God, but they really ain't God. They talk like God, but they really ain't God. They go to church like God, but they really ain't with God. They sing in a choir for God, but they really ain't with God. They give money, but they don't really give it the way God gives it. They just pretend to be something that they're not. In other words, they are hypocrites. They're hypocrites. Have the form of godliness, but denying, watch this now, denying the power, the dunamis, the exousia, the authority that God gives us that brings life to dead people. God has called us to preach the gospel, to lead the people, to come from death to life. But first you gotta kill them first and then raise them up again to help them to be the people of God. I get excited in a few minutes. I ain't excited yet. I'm getting close. Somebody look at them and say, he's getting close. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak will. Women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. Always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. The aletheia, the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth. They have men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. God says, I'm through with you. Beloved, don't ever let God say, I'm finished with you. That's why we got to read the Word of God, to fill ourselves with the Word of God, to spend time in God's presence, to spend time on our knees. Ask God to fix this evil that divides God's people of color, that we are the children of the living God from the same seed out of Adam. And they would not get very far. Because in the case of these men and those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. The word folly means their foolishness. It's like the Band-Aid song. I'm stuck on Band-Aid because Band-Aid stuck on me. I'm stuck on stupid. I'm stuck on folly because folly is stuck on me. Today, by the grace of God, He wants to unstuck your folly. So, beloved, we need to know who your audience is God. We need to know what your season is timing. We need to know who your enemy is Satan. Repeat after me. We are not each other's enemies. What a friend we have in Jesus. Then fourthly, beloved, we need to know where your power is. Your power is resonating and resting in these 66 sacred books in the sovereign Word of God. That's your power. That's where your power is. You, however, know all about my teachings and my way of life, verse 10 and following. My way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. The persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 16, all Scripture is God-breathed, theopneumatos, literally the Word of God, theos, God, pneumatos, breath, the breath of God breathed into the Word of God. And all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, correcting, training, and righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In righteousness. The word righteousness is a very visible word. The word is dikaiosune. It means to be in right standing for the right reason, for the right purpose, with the right God, in the right relationship. It is righteousness. It is right standing. It is standing on the promises of God. It is standing on the truth. For ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. For whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. So, beloved, know your audience. Know your season. Know your enemy, and know your power. And beloved, this is significantly important, but there's one other aspect that you and I must know. You need to know who your Savior is. Who your Savior is. Your Savior, my Savior, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 4, verse 6 and following. For I have already been poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of dikaiosune, righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, but also, get this now, to all who have longed for his appearing. It's talking about the church. The church. The church. The church. All of us are coming together. What a glorious, magnificent day that that's going to be. when there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, black nor white, red nor purple, we will all be caught up. Hallelujah. Make my Afrocentrism want to come out. Can I just get a hallelujah? Let me get a hallelujah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I'm at the first church. Don't hold that against me. That just came out. Whew. Pastor, that okay? Am I all right, Pastor? Pastor has given me the right vote. So I'm all right. So, beloved, so clearly given to us, I'm already poured out like a drink offering. And the time has come for my departure. I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. And now there's stored up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearance. Let's give God praise. Come on, give him some praise for that. That's the time I think about one of my friends. We used to sing, whiter than snow, whiter than snow. He washed me whiter than snow. You know something? Regardless to where we've been or what we've done, he's going to wash us into his presence, and we will be changed. So Jesus is coming back. Jesus is eternal, John 1:1. Jesus is omnipresent, Matthew 28:20. Jesus is omniscient, John 15:16-30. Jesus is omnipotent, John 5:19. Jesus is immutable, Hebrews 1:12. Jesus is creator, John 1:3. Jesus is forgive sin, Matthew 9:2. Jesus was raised from the dead, John 5:25. Jesus is the great I am, John 8:58. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, in us, and about us. He's all through us, Matthew 1:22. Jesus is the Son of Man, Matthew 9:6. Jesus is the Son of Man, John 10:36. Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father, Matthew 7:21. And Jesus is God, G-O-D, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Jesus is the incarnate living Word. He is the Word who lives in us, and he is the Word that is snatched from the pages of this Bible and is buried down. He is the living Word. Paul said it best in his letter to the church at Colossae, Colossians chapter 1. He said, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers, rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things. In him all things hold together. He is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Phew. Somebody said, phew. I mean, that's so good, I can't stand it. It's like that good commercial. That's what camel soup is, what? Jesus is good. Is he not good? Has he not been good to you? Has he not blessed your life? Has he not taken you places you've never been before and done things in your life that you never... Hasn't he really been good to you? I don't hear you. Give me a nice First Baptist hallelujah. Pastor, you want to have a Baptist church? I won't be coming back. That's all right. Here's the question I want to give to you. I want you to resonate on this for a while. If you're here today, you have given yourself to Christ, would you like to have Jesus to breathe new life into you today? Would you like to make a commitment as a husband and wife to get those dusty Bibles that you have not read from cover to cover, and make this year in your family the year of the Bible, and read God's out on an app, iPhone, iPad, our nose, our throat, and our ear. But get this old-fashioned, dusty piece of dust here and just read it cover to cover. Would you like, get this now, to be a better teenager where you can wash behind your ears? This is my 32-year-old son who is now married. He is now washing behind his ears. He's married. His wife is pregnant. Would you like to be a better father? Would you like to be a better husband? Would you just like to be a better person for the glory of God? So, beloved, how then do you know that the Word of God has been preached with authenticity and reverential power through the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm glad you asked that question. Let me give you six things that would be evident in every church. And I want you to get these now. Number one, there will be sound teaching. Sound teaching. Didasco. Sound teaching. Sound expositional, expository, exegetical teaching. Sound teaching. There will be strong rebuking. Strong rebuking. To rebuke the sin out of our lives so we can get on the street called straight and get right with God and each other. Then there will be straight correcting. Straight correcting. Correcting at the very core of our being to be the people that God called us to be. Straight correcting. Sound teaching, strong rebuking, straight correcting. Fourthly, there will be simple training to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, that we'd be equipped to do the work that God called us to do, and we won't have to be begged to do what God asked us to do because the scripture told us what to do. There will be simple training. Fifthly, there will be significant encouragement. There will be a spirit of encouragement. When people walk into this place, they will feel encouraged that they have been with God and God is at work in their life. There will be a significant amount of encouragement. And then sixth and lastly, there will be supernatural salvation. People will be getting saved at home and coming to church and begging the pastor to let them join the church and get baptized and become a part of the body of Christ. These six things must be evident in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm almost finished. Stay with me. But what things must be evident in you? The thing that must be evident in all men and women, either black or white, is the precious blood of Jesus. Jesus' blood is a clear demonstration on the cross at Calvary of the grace of God. Jesus died so that we, as sinful men and women, may die in him to live through him. Jesus gave up everything in order that we might become the righteousness of God. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, but smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his stripes, by his wounds, by his death, by his suffering, by his substitutionary death on the cross at Calvary, by him giving his life, that we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we might be healed." Beloved, I contend this morning that the only way to being effective and eternally healed of the wounds of past racial sins committed by both the white man and the black man is when these wounds have been washed in the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus is our only answer. Not Muhammad, not Taoism, Buddhism, Shintoism, Zoroastrianism, meditationism? Jesus. Jesus is the only way to make things right. Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Good works in the community is not the way. Marching together, holding hands together is not the way. Feeling sorry for a black man is not the way. A black family, a black woman, that ain't the way. Providing corporate scholarships and sponsorship to disadvantaged kids is not the way. Busing is not the way. Living in the same neighborhood, on the same street, and even in the same house as a black person and a white person is not going to do a thing for the problem with sin and the racial divide. The only thing I know from God's word that will truly work down through the years is the person of Jesus Christ becoming your Savior and your Lord in your life, and He will change your life. Not a convenient little sweet Jesus. Not a mousy, lukewarm Jesus operating in the community. But a bold, powerful, loving, uncompromising Jesus. The kind of Jesus that will shatter the hearts of stone of sinful mankind. The kind of Jesus that is real. The kind of Jesus that is saturated with the fruit of the Spirit of the living God. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. This is the kind of Jesus we need in this wonderful, beautiful, magnificent black room community of Warrensburg. That beginning at the First Baptist Church of Warrensburg, spreading to UCM territory, that moves out to the greater metropolitan area of Kansas City, that would even reach all the way over to St. Louis. And the greater area beyond the walls of this state, beyond the walls of our country, and spill over to every nation, every people, everybody will come to know that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Then this community will be known as the gateway to racial reconciliation that began at the First Baptist Church of Warrensburg in mid-Missouri. But beloved, to obtain this requires the following remedy for all men, both black and white, and everything in the middle. I want you to get this now. Get it now. Confession of your sin. 1 John 1:9. You've got to confess your mess. Confess your sins. For He is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. For if you say you have not sinned, you make God of a lie, and the truth of God is not within you. Confession of sin. 1 John 1:9 and 10. Repentance. Metanoia. Acts 2, when Peter preached that dynamic sermon, they said, what should we do? He says, repent every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You got to repent. Repent means this. You're going in this direction here. You don't do and go all and do the same thing, keep going the same direction. That's a 360. You do a 180. You go in the opposite direction. There's a change in your life that changes you from going in the wrong direction to going in the right direction. That's repentance. Metanoia. And then asking God for forgiveness. Matthew 7:7. Asking it shall be given. Seeking you shall find. Knocking the door will be open unto you. Ask God to come and take up tabernacle in your life. Why, beloved? Why is this important? It's because Romans 3:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We as a city don't want to die and miss God. We want to live the full and abundant life, a life in Christ, a life of hope, a life of healing, a life of joy, a life of peace, a life of oneness in Christ, a wonderful life like that. We don't want to die and go to hell. We want to live for the glory of God. The Bible says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Today, we confess, we repent, and we seek the forgiveness of God, that God would forgive us for the stuff in our heart that divides us from being engaged in the ministry of reconciliation. That God is calling us out to give to us that neither black nor white, so that the ebony and ivory keys on God's baby grand piano shall play together in biblical harmony and melodious grace. So I've asked God this day to let it begin here in this community, that a spirit of harmonizing harmony with one another in this great community to which we end, this great church here, this great pastor, great people, begin here, was spread out to Kansas City, to Springfield, to Jefferson City, to Kirksville, to Hannibal, Joplin, Columbia, to the Boot Hill, to the Lake of the Ozarks, to Sedalia, to Knob Noster, that began at the very core at the First Baptist Church of Warrensburg. A community, a town, a hamlet, a place that is sold out to the grace of God and the reconciling relationship that comes through Jesus Christ. This is not cheap grace. This is costly grace. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer so clearly says in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, it's expensive grace. So, beloved, are you ready to be blessed? That's a question. Are you ready to be blessed? Are you really ready to be blessed? Would you stand this morning? I want to do something that we did not do in the first service. I want to ask you to step out of your comfort zone and come to this altar, husbands, wives, children, families, members, long-standing Christians. And I want to challenge you this morning to let the spirit of reconciliation start right here and ask God to move in this community, that these walls that divide us and that separate us from the blessings of Jesus Christ, that they will fall down. God will tear them down. And history shall record that on this day, beneath the shadows of the vision of this pastor and the dynamic nature of such gifted and resourceful people, that history shall record it began here at the First Baptist Church of Warrensburg. Here's the catch. If you don't come, he ain't gonna come. But if you come and come to him, he will come and do the rest. Would you come now, please? Jesus is calling us to sail into the storm of turbulent waters in our nation. Jesus is calling for souls to get on board of the vessel with Jesus. We ask God, as Jesus did, that we need to wake up Jesus so we can sail through the storms of life. And then the spirit of racial hostility would be able to speak peace in the midst of your storm. Whatever storm you're going through, whatever heartache that you're faced with, he'll give you peace in the midst of that storm. Be it the health of your child, the health of your wife, the financial conditions of your family, be whatever it is The Lord has promised you peace in the midst of your storm because Jesus is on board of the vessel of your life. Thus, we will be able to take the words of Dr. Martin Luther King literally. When Dr. King said, and he brought these words alive and well to us, free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. This racial hostility, this division, this ugly monster, this garbage that pollutes our television waves and radio waves, all this trash, all this junk, that it is not worth a hill of beans, that because of Christ Jesus our Lord, we have been reconciled unto Christ, and we are the family of God. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you cannot be reconciled with Robert. Okay? You first must be reconciled with Christ. How do you do that? If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So you confess your sins. And you do this. Father, come into my life. Father, I'm lost. Father, I've been going to church a lot. I've been playing church. I'm lost. I'm on my way to hell. I know I'm not living right. Father, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I'm ready for a change. If your husband, your wife been praying for you, my wife been praying for me. I have been playing husband. I am not really the husband that she needs. Father, today, I confess I am not the man of my house. Father, thank you for my wife praying for me. Today, I want to start over. If I'm a wife in the house and my husband, things are not going right. Father, I'm this man's wife, but I'm not living wifeness. Come into my life. Change my heart. I'm a kid. I'm disobedient. I'm hard-hearted. I'm doing drugs and acting stupid and doing all this garbage stuff. God, today, I get out of that junk. I'm ready to give it to God. If that's you today, even as we go back to our seats today after we prayed, I want you to stay here and say, you were talking to me. You were talking to me, Doc, and I want to do something right now. Robert, I'm coming right now. I want my pastor to be right there. I'm coming. I'm ready to make that change. Musicians, would you come, please? As the Spirit of God does what He chooses, and you move and go as the Lord leads you, for those who are making that commitment, you stay right here. We come in to get you, to help you to get what God has in store for you, to bless you, that will change your life. And make 2020 be better than 2019. Be so wonderful what God has done in your life.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is intended to be a supplement to your local church and cannot replace your regular involvement there. If you are not currently part of a local church, we would be happy to assist you in finding one. Simply contact us through our website, www.fbcwberg.org.